In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. At the beginning of Acts, God had acted. He grabbed those unfaithful, scared, fearful disciples and transformed them with his Spirit into a new radical community that was spreading the message of Jesus as God's chosen one throughout Jerusalem. And then as Jerusalem had been saturated with this message, God acted again. He allowed this community to be persecuted. Stephen was killed, and then the rest of the believers were persecuted, and they were hunted down, and they tried to throw them in prison. And God used this to spread the gospel further. The gospel went after this to the fringes, to the most unlikely places in Israel, to the half-breed, half-brother Samaritans, down towards Ethiopia with those who worshipped in the temple but were outsiders because of their race and background. To those like Saul, who were the great enemies of God's message, the fringes were being saturated with the message of the gospel. And as our text picks up today, God steps in and acts again. Because God isn't just happy with the gospel on the fringes. He wants it to go further. So our story focuses in the town of Caesarea, the capital city of the province in which the Jews lived, where Rome had set up a city named after the Roman emperor. This Roman capital was the heart of Rome's presence in the region. And there in this city is a man we hear by the name of Cornelius. Cornelius is a centurion, a Roman military officer in charge of 160 or so soldiers within a Roman legion. Cornelius, by his very position, is a hated enemy of God's people. He is part of the army that controls and occupies God's people and holds them in prisoner, taxing them to death and oppressing them through violence and warfare. This Cornelius, hated outsider, having nothing to do with God's people, God chooses him and comes to him in a vision. The Lord comes to Cornelius and says, "Cornelius!" Cornelius responds astonishingly, "What is it, Lord?" As English readers, so easy to pass this by, but this was Cornelius humbling himself in a radical way. To call anyone but the Roman emperor Lord was treason. All of Cornelius's livelihood and job as a Roman military officer was built around his pledge of allegiance that the Roman emperor alone is Lord. And yet when hit with a vision from heaven, Cornelius says, "What is it, Lord?" He recognizes that the Roman emperor is not the Lord. And the Lord speaks to Cornelius and says, "I want you to find a man named Peter. Send for him down in Joppa. Bring him to your home. He is going to teach you. Submit yourself to him. Listen to him. He will show you the way of life." Cornelius miraculously obeys this vision from heaven. So Cornelius sends his men down to Joppa to find this Peter. Meanwhile, the next day, Peter goes up at noon to pray on the top of the house of Simon the Tanner, where he is staying. And there, as Peter is on top of the house, the Lord steps in and gives a vision to Peter. It's noon, and Peter hasn't eaten yet, and he's hungry. And as he's praying there, the Lord gives him a vision. And a great white sheet, lowered from the heavens, comes down in front of Peter. And in this great white sheet are animals from all over the world, four-footed and all sorts of variety of animals, all gathered in this great white sheet. And the Lord says to Peter, "Eat." Peter, horrified, says, "No way! Lord, I have never eaten anything that was unclean or common like this. Lord, you know your Torah says that we could only eat certain animals. I can't eat all these reptiles and birds and other four-footed animals. I can't. Never. And the Lord says to Peter, how dare you call what I have made unclean? Everything that I have made is good. And again, the vision comes to Peter. Great white sheet lowered from heaven, all the animals of the earth on it. And the Lord says, eat. And Peter says, no, I can't. It's against my religion. It's against what I was taught. And the Lord says, how dare you call my creatures unclean? I made them. They're good. They're beautiful. And a third time, the vision comes from heaven. The great white sheet lowered with all the animals of the earth on it. And the Lord says, Peter, eat. Peter still says, no way. I can't do it. Lord, you know I don't eat unclean creatures. And the Lord says it for the final time. Peter, don't you dare call what I made unclean. All that I made is good. Right on the heels of this, the men from Caesarea, sent by Cornelius the centurion, arrive at the house and they start hollering at the house. Is there anyone by the name of Peter here? We are sent here looking for a man named Peter. Astonished by the coincidence or the God-ordained sign, Peter receives these Roman outsiders, men sent from the Roman military officer, and welcomes them into the home and says, you may stay here. Peter is beginning to see that maybe all of God's creatures are good and clean. The next day, the men lead Peter up to Caesarea. And as Cornelius is waiting, he gathers all of his family, all of his friends. He is eager to hear the message from the Lord coming through this man, Peter. And they wait eagerly for Peter. And as Peter arrives with the men, Cornelius sees him and runs to him and falls down on his knees. He starts to worship him. And Peter says, no, get up. I'm just a man just like you. And then Peter says, look, Cornelius, you probably know it is illegal and unlawful for me as a Jew to be coming to your house and meeting with you. You are a hated Roman empire citizen. But the Lord came to me in a vision, and he showed me that all of his creatures are clean. So I'm going to listen. Why do you want me here? Cornelius says, well, the Lord came to me as well. He came to me in a vision, and he told me I needed to submit to everything that you taught me. So I am here to listen to you. Teach us. And so Peter begins to teach. He says, look, it's clear to me that God does not discriminate. God shows no partiality. It is crystal clear to me now that God recognizes and is welcoming to anyone from any nation who fears his name. And like you, Cornelius, a man who has been praying to God, even though you didn't know who God was, you humbled yourself before him. And you, Cornelius, you who help the poor, you who have worked justice, God is welcoming to you, and he wants to bring you a message. So if you have ears to hear, listen. Jesus of Nazareth, you probably heard of him. He grew up in the region to the south, and there in Nazareth, he did great wonders and works. This Jesus is Lord of all. This Jesus is judge of living and the dead. This Jesus brings peace and freedom to the world. He alone. That's right. The Roman emperor is not the Lord. The Roman emperor is not the judge of all. The Roman emperor and the Roman empire does not bring peace to the world. The Roman emperor and the Roman empire does not bring freedom to the world. It is alone Jesus of Nazareth, Lord of all. And miraculously, in the face of this treasonous message, Cornelius and all of his friends and family are filled with the Holy Spirit. They trust this word and they transform their lives. And Peter, seeing the Holy Spirit work within them, transforming them, says, holy cow, if the Holy Spirit can come on these uncircumcised men, they have nothing to do with our Jewish people. If the Holy Spirit can come on them, then clearly God is working in a way that I never expected. Let us baptize these people in the name of Jesus, just as we were baptized. Clearly God is showing us they are part of the same community, and that Jesus alone is the only thing that unites people. No longer is it national divide. No longer is it racial divide. No longer is it the politics or the economics. Jesus alone is Lord and unites us as all, as one. Word of this spreads down to Jerusalem. And the people in Jerusalem, the Christians there, are really concerned that maybe Peter is forgoing their Jewish heritage and going off the path. So they bring Peter down there and they ask him, what's going on? That you would baptize uncircumcised men, hated enemies of the Roman Empire? And Peter says, look, I had a vision from God. He came to me. He showed me what was happening. He told me that no creature is unclean that he made. He sent his same Holy Spirit that he gave to us on these men. Who am I to work against God? And after thinking about it, those gathered in Jerusalem agree. Their minds blown that God is bringing repentance and transformation not only to the fringes of God's people, but God's enemies completely outside of God's people beforehand. And they rejoice that God is transforming even the nations. The hated Roman Empire, hated Roman military officers, and transforming them to the way of Jesus. Peter, good Christian boy that he is, gets converted again in our text. Notice that. Peter's had a lot of conversions, hasn't he, along his journey? Converted that day when Jesus said, leave everything behind and follow, and Peter goes. But then Peter misses the boat. Remember, he gets rebuked by Jesus. Satan, get behind me. You don't know what you're talking about. And Peter, he's ready to die with Jesus. But then when the going gets tough, he denies Jesus 3 times when it really mattered. Peter falls away, and the Lord brings him back and converts him again after the resurrection. And then again, the Lord converts him that great Pentecost day, filling Peter with his Holy Spirit, showing him a new life. And Peter's going forward, preaching like Jesus, healing like Jesus, raising the dead like Jesus. But Peter still needs conversion in our story this day. Even Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, Christian boy from the beginning of Jesus' ministry, needs to be converted. He still has blind spots. His vision is too narrow. Peter still thinks that God has preference for different nations, preference for different politics, preference for different economics, preference for different races. But the Lord comes to Peter and converts him again in our text. Are we willing to be converted again? And again. And again. If we learn anything from Peter this morning, let it be that the road of conversion is not singular. You may have been a Christian converted decades ago, walking with the Lord in the faith, but he may still need to come to you this day and open your mind to a big blind spot, to show you where you've gotten narrow-minded again, where you're not really seeing his truth in fullness. Are we open that we, like Peter, as Christians though we are, may still need to be converted? Because we're not seeing the world with God's eyes yet. Text challenges us to the core, a very timely text, that God doesn't care what nation you're from. He could care less about your patriotic loyalties. God doesn't care what political party you're a part of. He doesn't care. God doesn't care what your economic situation is, big bank account or small. God does not care of your skin color, what race you are. God doesn't care. The Lord does not discriminate by such petty, superficial things. The only thing we see in our text that matters to the Lord is, do you listen to Jesus? And we see from our text that Cornelius is a man ready to hear the message of Jesus, because the text tells us multiple times he fears the Lord, he prays to the Lord, and he takes care of the poor. Those things make him receptive and ready for the Lord's work. Doesn't make him a Christian yet, but fearing the Lord, praying and helping the poor put Cornelius in a receptive spot. And the Lord steps in and converts this man of a different race, a different nationality, a different politics, a different economics than anything that the Christians liked. Peter has his mind blown that God doesn't discriminate or show partiality on the things that are so important to us in our world. How often our world draws lines with nationality and patriotism. How often our world draws lines with race. How often our world draws lines with politics. Which party do you belong to? How often our world draws lines with economics. None of these things matter to the Lord. All a question of, are you willing to submit to Jesus? To let him convert you and transform you into something radically different than the world's boundaries. So let us this day look at ourselves and our community. Are we drawing lines of nationality? Are we drawing lines of race? Are we drawing lines of economics? Are we drawing lines of politics? We need to wake up again like Peter and realize those things do not matter. God wants to work in all people, in all children, all backgrounds. Let us show a different way, a way that transcends nation, politics, economics, and race. That there is one family. It's around Jesus, and it's the only one that matters. Amen.